You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Get around the back of the yard here.
You're taking a longer walk than normal, huh?
Yeah. I'm not as quick at this topic as Romy is. You know, he's Johnny on the spot when it comes to this. Romy's got the kids up at the Payson Rodeo today for the Queen Creek Junior Rodeo Association. I think I have a couple grandkids in the running for, like, Cowboy Cowgirl of the Year. So I'll be up there tomorrow, so we'll be anxious to see how the gang is doing. Nothing like watching a four-year-old granddaughter run the flags or the poles. A little
white horse named Nibbles.
Nibbles. Fat Albert. Nibbles and Fat Albert. So Rosie is taking the outdoor living gardening segment. Thank goodness we've got a special guest in studio, because at Rosie's garden, there's two tools, a flamethrower and a chainsaw, baby. And if it doesn't survive, it's gone. We've got John Eisenhower here, certified arborist from Integrity Tree, coming in and talking trees today. John, thanks a million for dropping in on us.
Glad to be here and talk trees today.
Yeah. You got a particular tree of the month you want to talk about first, right?
Yeah, we got lots of stuff to talk about today, but our tree of the month is our blue Palo Verde. Actually, it's the Palo Verde, you know, all the Palo Verdes that we have here are kind of on display right now. You see all the carpet of yellow flowers,
yellow snow.
That yellow brick road, all over our sidewalks and streets, and it's quite an awesome display. For those of you who are kind of disappointed when you see all those flowers because of the cleanup, that's the trade off. You know, you do have a lot of, especially the hybrids, have that long bloom cycle and the huge flower, and it just seems like it's an endless litter. Now drop all over the place.
And John, the yellow bloom, is that specific to a particular type of Palo Verde? Because how many different Palo Verdes are there?
Well, the two main ones are the foothill Palo Verde. It's a little one that dots all of our rocky hillsides. And then you have the blue Palo Verde, which is the larger Palo Verde. But they're all yellow.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all the same yellow bloom. The little ones grow to about 20 feet in height. The big ones, the blue Palo Verdes, to about 40 feet.
Now, what's the one they call the museum?
Well, that's a hybrid blue Palo Verde. It's a hybrid of our Arizona State tree, and it's a very fast growing. It has a very large bloom and really popular. There's a desert emerald and then the desert museum. They're both hybrids that the nurseries sell a lot because they achieve their landscape purpose very quickly. If you like a Palo Verde and you want a fast-growing tree that's going to achieve its landscape purpose quickly, that one of those hybrids is probably the ticket. You need a little bit of room for them. Be careful, because within about 4 or 5 years, you can have a tree that's 25 feet tall, and they can sometimes outgrow their spot. So be sure you give it adequate space to grow and be aware that it's going to be 25 feet, 30 feet across, and 30 feet tall.
Now, we take these trees that are indigenous to a dry desert. We put them in our landscaping, and we just water them and water them on a schedule. They grow. They are super fast.
Sure.
In my frame of reference, it seems to me they are a tree that comes in fast.
They do. And
as opposed to like a Texas ebony, just takes forever.
Yeah, you're right. They're faster growing trees, and as they're growing quickly too, they are putting on they drop a lot of litter. If you have a slower growing tree like that Texas ebony, it's considered a clean tree because as it's putting on wood more slowly, it just metabolizes at a slower rate and it drops litter more slowly. So if you want a fast growing tree, you have to realize the trade off is you're going to have a lot of litter production, a lot of bloom, a lot of leaves, a lot of seed pods. So, yeah, just be ready for that.
If I ask a desert tree to live in my yard on a regular irrigating water schedule and grow faster, am I making a weaker tree?
You can, because if it's putting on that wood pretty quickly and a lot of vegetative growth, it can overtax the actual structural integrity of the tree. You have to have, you know, strong branch attachments that are going to be able to support that increasing end weight. So, yeah, if you're fertilizing and watering and kind of pushing a lot of vegetative growth on our trees, sometimes they can outgrow your ability to prune them and keep ahead of them. So just be kind of careful that you don't overdo it. In fact, we tell people if you once you have your desert mesquites, your desert Palo Verdes, your ironwoods established after 4 or 5 years, once they've gotten up, you can start to back off on the watering a little bit, especially if you have surrounding shrubs and other understory plants that are being watered regularly. Sometimes you can start to back off on the dedicated emitters to your desert trees and just experiment in your own yard. You know, you need a nice deep saturation from time to time. We do need supplemental watering beyond just our seasonal rain. But you'll be surprised at what you can do with some of these trees in terms of backing off on the watering and just seeing how well they do on their own. You can kind of slow down that process. We see a lot of overwatered yards. People are spending $400, $500, $600 for a water bill every month in some of these properties, and it's unnecessary because the trees are could do fine with half that water. So we tell people, you know, just start, you know, decreasing the frequency of your cycles. If you're watering every 3 days, start watering every 5 days, every 6 days. Same amount of water, but just, you know, try to extend the time between your irrigation cycles, and you'll be surprised. And it will. And I said all that to say this, that in answering your issue, yes, you will actually slow down that growth and let the tree put on wood a little more slowly and grow a little stronger that way, giving time for those branch attachments to get stronger, the base of the branches to develop tapered caliper to support the increasing end weight. So, yeah, that can be done by just kind of moderating the water and not just pushing a lot of vegetative growth.
While listening to us this morning, if you have a question about any tree in Arizona, give us a ring. It's John Eisenhower, Certified Tree Arborist with Integrity Tree Service. The number's toll-free, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U, talking this morning about the tree of the month, the blue Palo Verde. And my favorite tree in my whole yard is one you've had to bolt back together. I think it was one of those trees that just grew too fast. But that mesquite on the corner of the lot is just a monster tree. I love it.
Yeah, it's a desert mesquite. In fact, I think in your neighborhood there, that used to be an original mesquite bosque.
Yes.
Those were original trees in that area, in that low-lying area. And wherever you can find a bunch of mesquites that were growing there in the desert in some of those little ravines, it's so cool to see those over the years and that they've matured and found their way into those spots. And yeah, that's a beautiful tree. I know you also planted a blue Palo Verde there in the center of your driveway too a few years back. That's been really nice. Again, another big multi-stemmed. Some of these hybrids are cultivated in the nurseries, and they're called low breakers, whereas they have a number of stems that emerge from the main stem at about 3 or 4 feet off the ground and then provide a nice candelabra of branch structure at a very low height in the tree. So they're very beautiful in the landscape. As you look out across the landscape, you see this beautiful architecture at, you know, from 2 to 8 feet in height. So you get this beautiful structure, and you've got a really nice tree there in the center.
That's the post office tree.
It's the one that the mailman hits.
The mailman kept getting mad at us because as we have guests to the house, all of our trees were right there at the front near the mailbox. And he threatened. He says, you know, I can't even get to your mailbox. He said, plant a tree over there. So I planted his tree over there. And people do use it for exactly that. But in the summer, you're always trying to find that one little shade tree, right?
Yeah, and these Palo Verdes are, speaking of shade, they provide shade for other things besides cars. They actually are a beautiful nurse plant. They're known for actually providing the shade necessary for the little baby saguaros to grow. Our saguaro cactus can't just grow out in the open desert on their own. They need a sheltered environment when they're quite young. And Palo Verdes often provide that. They're dropping leaf litter, which provides very moist and nutrient-rich soil for the saguaros to grow up. They provide shade to protect that small saguaro seedling as it grows up and gets a little bit larger. And then as the Palo Verde tree over the years starts to decline and die over 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, the dead branches fall down and provide, again, a more nutrient source. And quite often when that tree finally dies, it declines and dies, it provides a beautiful mulch and an environment for the – then the saguaro survives that and grows maybe 100, 200, 300 years beyond the Palo Verde. But for every saguaro you see out in the desert, every one, in, no matter where it's located, it had a nurse plant generally that, that provided a little shelter and a shade spot for it sometime in its life. And Palo Verde's, or Arizona State tree, is normally that, that nurse plant, which helps that those saguaros get going. So really kind of a cool little bit of history behind our Arizona State tree. I love them. They're just such a cool tree. We have
properly trimmed their artwork.
Oh, they're
sculptures.
Well, what's really kind of cool is they have that beautiful yellow bloom, of course, but it's the leaves, and it's not these dramatic leaves. It's the color of the bark itself. In fact, Palo Verde means green stick, and the bark itself is has chlorophyll in it, and so it's actually able to photosynthesize. In fact, they say 80% of a Palo Verde's photosynthetic capacity is in its bark, not in the leaves. So actually a Palo Verde in under drought stress can drop all of its leaves in order to conserve water, because through photosynthesis, when the leaves are exposed, they're giving off water vapor. So when there's not enough water, all our desert trees, mesquites and Palo Verdes, quite often will drop their leaves as a defense mechanism, because it's saying, I got to hold on to my water and I got to drop my leaves in order to do that, because if the leaves are exposed, I lose water. Anyway, as they drop their leaves, they can continue to photosynthesize through the bark, which is really an awesome adaptation that over the millennia, these it's unique to Palo Verdes. So our Arizona State tree has that ability to photosynthesize even without leaves on.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
This month, it's the blue Palo Verde, which is the blue-green stick.
It's the green stick.
The blue Palo Verde.
The blue Palo Verde is the blue-green stick.
The blue-green stick.
There you go.
And we'll talk about the blue-green stick. We'll talk about your tree as well. We've got Matt wants to talk about a peach tree. You can get online and talk to Mr. Eisenhower at 1-888-767-4348 right here at Rosie on the House.